ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दं परमसुखदं केवलं ज्ञानमूर्तिं द्वन्द्वातीतं गगनसदृशं तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकं नित्यं विमलमचलं सर्वधि साक्षिभूतं भावातीतं त्रिगुणरहितं सद्गुरुं तं नमामि। ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम् सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। We are on the 20-point program, the 20 virtues that Bhagwan is calling as Jnanam itself. They are the means to knowledge, because in Sanskrit, the word jnanam, jnayate anena iti, that by which knowledge is gained, is also one meaning of the word jnanam. So the word jnanam, we take in this meaning for these virtues. And we did verse 9 and 10 and 11. Indriyartheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha. So the objects, vairagya or dispassion towards the objects of the senses, because vairagya, I told you, it is a shift in control. If you are dispassionate towards the objects, situations and people, you are in control. But if not, your mind is going to get very agitated, very disturbed. Our own near and dear ones sometimes agitate us the most. So if we maintain the distance, we maintain dispassion. And I told you how to develop dispassion is to first suppress, try suppressing, and then go into sublimation. If we come to know the result of dispassion, which is peace of mind, we would really be practicing, trying to practice it, because that's the only way that the mind can remain at peace. Anahankara, there's a question here. So ego, and I told you the one definition of ego is ego is identification with one thing or another. And I also told you that there are two kinds of egos that all of us have. One which is known as the functional ego, and one is the psychological ego. The functional ego is very, very necessary. As long as we are in the transactional world, we will go on doing actions, karmas. Karma is inevitable. Nobody can live without doing action. And for action to be performed, ego is extremely necessary. Why? Because ego is identification. Unless I identify my body, how can I do any action? Because action is done by the body. So I have to have that identification with my body to perform any action. Right now I'm speaking, I'm identified with my vocal cords. I have to be. So that is what we call as the functional ego. Now, what is the psychological ego? The way action happens, karma happens, is because of the interaction of the three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. I've told you that neither one of these can be reduced to zero. Even in the most realized masters, they have a little bit of tamas, because otherwise they wouldn't be able to sleep. So these three gunas, the way action happens, as Bhagwan himself has explained in chapter 3, is because of the interaction between these three gunas. So if you take a simple example of this speaking that is happening right now, the body is tamas And I do need the body, I do need the vocal cords, I do need my throat to speak. So that is coming from the tamasic aspect. The speaking, the actual act of speech is rajas, dynamic. And what I am speaking, the knowledge, is coming from sattva. So sattva, rajas, and tamas are interacting with each other. Any action you take, and think about this, any action. So if you take cooking, you know, most common for us householders. So there is the tamasic aspect of the material. Material is tamasic. Okay. And the action of cooking. So I'm cooking it on the fire, you know, on the range, I'm mixing, I'm blending, whatever that I'm doing, rajas. And sattva is the knowledge of the recipe. All three are required. If I have tamas, if I have the material, but I don't have sattva, I don't have the knowledge of how to cook that recipe, then I can't act. I cannot do it. If I have the knowledge, but I don't have tamas, I don't have the material only in the house, I can't cook. And if I have both, but I don't have, suppose I have, I'm supposed to be blending something and I don't have a blender or my range is out of whack or something, then I go. So I need all three for any action to be performed. All three are required. Okay. Now, so far, no problem. As long as the functional ego understands that this action that is happening because of the interaction of the gunas, there is no problem. There is no problem because action has to be performed. So there is no. But what happens with this functional ego, now it misunderstands. So what is the misunderstanding of the functional ego is that it doesn't consider that the action is happening because of the interaction of the gunas. It actually thinks I am doing that action. And that then becomes the psychological ego. So what is to be ana ahankar here without ego, what is to be avoided is that psychological ego. So you perform action and that becomes the basis of karma yoga. So you perform action with the knowledge that this is an interaction of the three gunas. I have got nothing to do with it. You're fine. You're fine. There is a functional ego. Or the other aspect, the devotee, he says, I am a servant of the Lord. I am an instrument of the Lord. Take any method that suits you. Your own temperament. If you are a karma yogi, if you're more in karma, then understand that karma cannot happen without the interaction of the gunas and I have got nothing to do with it. You're safe. Or if you're a bhakta, if you're heart oriented, then just say that God is getting this thing done through me. The Lord is getting. So I've got nothing to do with it again. That way. So depending on your bent of mind, you can convert every karma into karma yoga. So that is what Bhagavan is saying, anahankara. See, when we have seen realized masters, there are certain realized masters who have actually even given up the functional ego, like Raman Maharshi. The minute he realized, he just went into the cave and he just sat. He didn't do anything. He didn't speak. He didn't, you know, so even the functional ego, he had given up. But most of the masters will give up the psychological ego. Psychological ego dies at realization. What actually dies when we say, oh, ego is dead. What is dead is the psychological aspect of it. The functional aspect remains. So we see in the case of Nisargadatta Maharaj, a realized master, he used to make bidis, roll bidis, you know, the cigarettes, which he continued to do after realization. So we can tell that the functional ego is functioning and it's fine. It's fine. There's nothing wrong. Functional ego is actually good and it is required to perform action. So no problem with functional ego. The psychological part has to be avoided. Or the other way of looking at this also is that I can drive functional ego. I am the best driver in the world. Psychological ego. So don't bring that psychological ego aspect into it. Yes, I can drive, I can cook, I can whatever. I know so many languages, but there's nobody like me. That becomes a psychological ego. Clear? Okay, good. So anahankara evacha janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. So understand that birth and fear of death, old age, vyadhi is the disease of the body. There are defects in them. Defects. It's very painful. I told you the fetus, it is said it's extremely painful in the womb, but we forget. What happens, they say, is that the fetus doesn't want to come out, but when the vasanas when they fructify at that particular moment, the child will come out, the fetus will come out of the womb. And the minute the fetus comes out of the womb, Maya engulfs it. And that child then forgets all the past, you know, sorrows, how much trouble there was in the womb, and then gets caught up in as it grows. First, the child doesn't have a little baby, doesn't have any doership, doesn't have it. This is mine. This is, doesn't recognize anybody. This is mother, father, doesn't. But as it grows, that ego starts building up. The doership starts building up, and then it becomes my mother, my father, then my toy, my room. All these things begin as they start growing. So that is how it is. So Bhagwan is saying here that if you think about the sorrows of all these things, then you will get dispassion. That is what it is. The dukkha anudarshanam is to get vairagya, and vairagya is required. Asakti, I told you, is attachment. So there should be no attachment. Asakti is non-attachment, sorry. Asakti is attachment, but asakti. So sakti is attachment. When you put the prefix, is non-attachment. Abhishvanga. Abhishvanga is to consider something else to be me. And that's why it is putra, dara, and grahadishu. So Bhagwan is saying anabhishvanga. He's saying anabhishvanga. So abhishvanga is to consider something else to be me. So anabhishvanga is do not consider your progeny. Putra is also daughter, so son or daughter. Dara is spouse, and graha, house. So we consider them to be me, myself, and then their sorrows become my sorrows, their happiness becomes my happiness. So if they are stressed, then I am stressed. If they are, you know, so that should be avoided, because that is disturbing the mind. All these values are going towards keeping the mind peaceful. So putra grahadishu nityam cha samachittatvam. Samata, I told you, is the key, the buzzword of Bhagavad Gita is samata. Equanimity has to be maintained at all levels, at the level of the body, speech, mind, intellect. So where body is concerned, eat the proper things, do the proper things, understand what doesn't suit you, all that, you know, so much. And chittata, so the mind will remain equanimous in ishta and anishta. Ishta, that which is conducive to me, that which I like. Anishta is that which I don't like, that which I don't want. And most of the times, that which I don't want only comes to me. So remaining equanimous in all those situations. Again, the same thing, peace of mind. Mayi cha ananya yogena, ananya exclusive yoga, and bhakti hi avyabhicharini, unswerving devotion to me. And vivikta desha sevitvam, being able to stay alone without feeling lonely. So you can be, when you're without the company of people, you should be happy. And even in the company, vivikta desha sevitam doesn't mean that you hate company. That is not the idea. So when you're alone, you're happy. But suppose there are occasions when you have to meet up with people, when you have to be in a crowd, in this thing. But even there, you should be samachit. That's why samachittatvam has already come. So you keep it not like, oh God, now do I have to go and meet all these people? It shouldn't be like that. Okay, fine. This is my prarabdha. I'm supposed to be meeting with these people. Okay, I will meet. So that is what is meant by vivik meets. You should be happy, and you should be alone when you're alone, and you should also be alone when you're in company. Alone means with your own mind. You should be at peace, happy. Arati Jana Sausidhi. I told you, Arati, not reveling in company, but this company doesn't mean company of like-minded people. It means company of people who are extroverted. Because if you stay in their company for a long time, you could get swayed. It's like, you know, if you're in the company of smokers, even that smoke, ultimately, you might start smoking yourself, right? So it doesn't mean to avoid satsangs and all that. It means to avoid people who are not on the same path as you. So they're not going to understand you for once, and they would want to do something which you may not want to do. So better to be neutral, not to hate them or anything, but neutral, not take part in conversations which are not related to spiritual topics. So there are so many, right? There's politics, there is movies, there is all kinds of things. So people who take rasa, rati, they revel in those things. Try and avoid their company. Or if you're in their company, then don't try to get into this discussion, arguments, etc., etc. The one who is on the spiritual path will automatically be quiet. That's why alone, you know, so even in their company, you can just be quiet and not sort of start an argument or get into an argument, something like that. So arati jana sausidhi, arati. Now we come to a very important value, and this is the last one, verse 12. Adhyatma jnana nityatvam tatva jnanartha darshanam etat jnanam iti proktam adjnanam yadatonyatha. Constancy in self-knowledge, perception of the end of true knowledge, this is declared to be knowledge, and what is opposed to it is ignorance. So adhyatma jnana nityatvam, this is where the virtues end. They started with amanitvam, that's where we started. And adhyatma jnana nityatvam, we end. Okay, this is the last one and we'll talk about it. And why should these virtues be practiced? Tattva jnanartha darshanam. Now this word jnana is coming here again. Here, tattva jnana doesn't mean the means to knowledge, it actually means now the knowledge. So here this jnana word in this verse, the second word of the first line, tattva jnanartha darshanam. So why should I be practicing these virtues? For the darshana, for the vision, but not a physical vision, for realizing, for recognizing tattva jnana. And tattva is the supreme reality. So the knowledge of the supreme reality, that is why I should be doing these virtues. Up to here only it is jnana. Anything that doesn't fall under the purview of this is ignorance. So let us look at this word adhyatma nityatvam, very important word. Nityatvam here means 24/7. Nitya, always. 24/7, 365. Now, adhyatma jnana 24/7, 365. So what does it mean? Am I supposed to be carrying my Vedanta Gita book or Upanishad book and constantly reading? It's not possible. It's not physically possible. So what is impossible, Bhagwan is not going to say. So obviously, if he has said it, it means this is possible. So we need to see what this adhyatma jnana is. Nityatvam 24/7. If we look at our life, what is happening 24/7 to us? What is happening is experiences are coming to us 24/7, right? Morning to evening, we are experiencing something or the other, cold, heat, joy, sorrow, honor, dishonor, whatever, you know, disappointment, happiness, whatever. So adhyatma jnana in that case means, how am I dealing with each experience? So every experience that comes to me is my prarabdha, is my destiny. But to know how to deal with this experience so that a vasana is not created for my future birth. So how do I respond to this situation as opposed to how my reaction? So control of reaction, because experiences are happening 24/7, and how at each experience am I facing it? Am I facing it in a way that I'm not creating any more vasanas for myself, or am I facing it in a way where I am creating vasanas for myself? So if I am facing these experiences without creating any more new vasanas for myself, Adhyatma Nitya, Adhyatma Jnana Nitya. Okay, so that Adhyatma Jnana, Adhyatma is what? Knowledge of the self is with me. It means it is with me. Okay. My reaction to that experience is what is creating these vasanas for my next birth. And the whole idea of these studies is to avoid that birth, because already Bhagavan told us janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dosha anudarshanam. So it is painful to get a birth. So Samarth Ramdas in his Manache Shlok says it's very, very painful. So try not to get that birth again in this life itself. So every experience that I'm dealing with in a correct manner, it becomes Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. The other thing that is Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam is that when a situation comes to me, and it could be a physical illness, mental distress, sorrow, whatever, am I saying that this is a result of my own karma that I have done, or am I playing the blame game? I was thinking about this walking, because you know there's a lot of construction going on in Mangalore, especially in front of my house. Like, if I get stuck in traffic, very, very common now in Vancouver, because construction is there every day, some other new road is being closed off and all that. When I get stuck in traffic, am I cursing? Am I like, oh, yeah, this? Or am I saying, okay, that's fine. Maybe I myself should have left 10 minutes early. I should have anticipated that there is going to be traffic on the road, and I should have. Am I maintaining my peace of mind? Am I... if at all, that it is not blame, but am I understanding that this is a result of my own past karmas, or am I blaming somebody else? That becomes Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. So what happens is, when you don't play the blame game and you yourself say that, okay, I have done something in the past to deserve this, the mind will quieten down. Because it's your own doing that has gotten you into this situation. So that becomes Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. The third thing is, what 24/7 we are seeing is the world. We open our eyes, we see, you know, whatever outside our window, we see the world constantly. So looking at the world, are our thoughts going to the creator? Or am I going into, how do I indulge in this? How do I enjoy this? So when I look at the world, am I thinking, yeah, this is a bhoga bhumi for me. This is meant for my enjoyment. Let me go enjoy. Or am I thinking, no, this is a karma bhumi for me. Let me use this world to get out of this life, or the creator. If the world is there, there has to be a creator. Then how must the creator be? There is a famous story of Guru Govind Singh. So it is said that a mother and her daughter, they went to see him, and the daughter was young and very, very beautiful. So the guru was staring at the daughter, and the mother felt very uncomfortable. So why is he staring at my daughter? So she asked him, she said, why are you staring at my daughter? He said, I am wondering, if this girl is this beautiful, how beautiful must the creator be? Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. So anything of beauty that you see, are you thinking how beautiful the creator must be? Or are you thinking of yourself enjoying it? You walk through a garden and you see beautiful roses, you know, what thought is coming to your mind first? Oh, I wish I had it. I could, you know, if it's Indian, of course, now I can't wear, it would be nice to put this rose in my hair, or it would be nice if I had this rose plant in front of my house, Or do I say, whoa, what a beautiful rose, and I walk away? Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. So every, because Nityatvam being 24/7, it doesn't, it cannot mean that you have to be reading or studying, but where are your thoughts when you go through these experiences? Because 24/7 we see the world, 24/7 we are experiencing things. So where are my thoughts when these things are happening around me? That is what determines Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam. How do I develop this Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam? Is by satsang. That's why the classes, you know, when we have these classes and these things are reiterated to us, they're told to us over and over again, then maybe when we go through these things, we can, you know, we can keep our mind at peace. Now there is no travel, but previously, if you miss your flight and you're stuck at an airport, then are you fuming and, you know, this blah blah blah, or you're saying, okay, that's a good opportunity, I never get a chance to sit and read my book, why don't I do that now, right? So where is your mind? So that is Adhyatma Nitya. So by satsang we can develop it. By trying to reduce, purify our vasanas, by avoiding company, that's why arati jana sausadihi, avoiding company which is extroverted. Yogabhyasa also will help in that, pranayama, those who are into yoga, pranayama, pratyahara, because all that is going to the control of the mind. Pranayama and all is controlling the mind ultimately, so through the breath. So if you're doing that, then Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam, this condition can be fulfilled. Okay. And all this up to, this is the end of the virtues, the Tattva Jnanartha, Jnanartha Darshanam. So this is all to be done for the realization of the tattva, which is the supreme reality. Etat jnanam iti proktam. This is what is known as jnana, Bhagavan says. Everything else that doesn't fall under this purview is ignorance. And the reason that it is ignorance, because if you do opposite of whatever, like amanitvam, but you have mana, you have dambha, you have hinsa, you know, those pravrittis, those tendencies, you don't want to forgive anybody. If anything like that, it is taking you into sansar, it is taking you into world, and that's why it is ignorance. It cannot be called as knowledge. Knowledge, true knowledge, is the knowledge of the supreme reality. And that is why Bhagavan says, this, anything other than this is ignorance. It is taking you into the world. Our sadhana, our self-effort should be to be withdrawing from the world, only mentally, not physically. Okay? Are there any questions so far?
Quick question. So what is the sign of, how would one know that they are actually in this path, or, you know, they are getting this tattva darshanam? Is the mind becoming more peaceful and less agitated a sign of that?
Okay. Yes. Yes. Okay. Either there is a perception by the guru, okay, but the guru may not be present there to be sort of evaluating us. But our own mind, Adhyatma Jnana Darshanam, Adhyatma Jnana Nityatvam, am I using every situation to evolve, or am I devolving with every situation? How much is my mind at peace in adverse situations? See, when there are happy situations, we are all happy only, mind is at peace only. But how peaceful is my mind in adverse situations, when things don't go the way that I want them to go? How equanimous am I in situations? Even that determines. So because we are going through situations every single day, every single minute, am I remaining equanimous in all these situations? So if I find a difference between what I was previously and what I am now, then you know that you are, because it's an internal change. Externally nothing happens, but internal change only you can know.
Okay, thank you.
So now, before we go into this jnanam proper, kshetradnya, a few things we should understand. So these 20 virtues have to be practiced. Why? For, I've already told you, it is for the purification of the mind. It is for the peace of mind, so that the mind becomes peaceful. And why should the mind be peaceful? Because the mind should be peaceful, because only with a peaceful mind will Shravanam be effective. Why should I do Shravanam? Because Upanishad has said, masters have said, Shruti has said that the way to this supreme reality, the first step is Shravanam. Shravanam, with Shravanam begins the Antaranga Sadhana. See, there are two types of sadhanas or self-efforts. One is called the Bahiranga Sadhana, outer, external, and one is the Antaranga Sadhana. Bahiranga Sadhana is Karma Yoga, Dharma, following a path of righteousness, Yoga Abhyasa, if you're doing Pranayama, Pratyahara, practicing all these virtues. This is all falling under Bahiranga Sadhana. And practicing these virtues with, of course, Vivek, Vairagya, those dispassion, the Shat Sampatti, all this is coming with these values. You come to a point where you can begin Antaranga Sadhana. Of course, Antaranga Sadhana is more difficult than Bahiranga Sadhana. And that's why the mind has to come to a certain level to start this process of Shravanam. Now, in Shravanam itself, realization can be obtained. That is the importance of Shravanam. I've also told you, Shravanam presupposes a live guru. That is one thing. But through Shravanam itself, realization can happen. And we see that in the case of Nachiketas in Katopinishad, Arjun himself in Bhagavad Gita. Because when we reach chapter 18, we will see Arjun saying, Nashto moha smritir labdhva. My delusion is completely gone and I have regained my memory of who I actually am. So all he did was Shravanam. Nachiketas also, all he did was Shravanam. So if the mind is that subtle, if the mind has become that purified, Shravanam itself will take you, because Shravanam is where you get the knowledge. You hear and you get the knowledge, and that is it. That is not, so that can take you across. If you have some doubts, then you have to do mananam. So that's next step. For those whose minds are not that highly developed, evolved, then mananam is required, which is for removing all the doubts. And still sometimes, even after the doubts are removed, there is what is known as viparita bhavana. Viparita bhavana means incorrect thought. So what is the incorrect thought is I am the body. That is incorrect thought. What is the correct thought? Aham Brahmasmi. So I am this body is this viparita bhavana. The wrong thinking can only be removed by right thinking. So the thorn which will remove this thorn, this vritti, has to be removed by another vritti, which is opposite. So aham dehosmi, I am the body vritti, can only be removed by aham Brahmasmi. And that is where nididhyasana or meditation comes into play. So in meditation, knowledge is not to be gained. In Shravana itself, knowledge has to be gained and it has to be completely gained. There should not be some bits and pieces remaining. If the gain of knowledge is still remaining, then Shravanam still has to be done. And doubts are removed. And then in meditation, only this wrong thinking has to be eradicated. And that is done by this Aham Brahmasmi vritti. So that one vritti, one thought removes another thought and it drops itself. Because Aham Dehosmi is also a thought. Aham Brahmasmi also is a thought. Now you're giving up one thought and replacing it with another thought. What is the point? Thought and thought, it's thought only. So what is the point of it? The point is this Aham Brahmasmi thought has got Brahman in its womb. So it will illumine itself. So aham brahmasmi, what will happen is that asmi will drop and what will remain is only aham. Everything will drop and only aham, which is Brahman, will remain. That is what happens in Nidhi Dhyasana. And to come to that stage, these 20 virtues are required. Now, as far as knowledge is concerned, Jnanam, there are two kinds of knowledges. There is one knowledge which you gain, and then the result of that knowledge will come after a while. So this knowledge that we are talking about is of the material world. So I get a degree. That doesn't mean that suddenly I have money, a paycheck in my hand. With the degree doesn't come a paycheck. So what I do is I get the degree, then I go look for a job, then I work there at least for 2 weeks before I get a paycheck. So I have got the knowledge, but the result of that, why did I get that knowledge, is to earn money. So I have got the knowledge, but that doesn't guarantee me the result. So knowledge is there, and then there is a time lapse, and then there is effort, there is more karma required. I have to work, then I get a paycheck result. Whereas this other type of knowledge, which is knowledge of this tattva jnana, is like the keys being in the pocket. So I have put the keys, my own keys, in my own jacket pocket, and now I have forgotten, and I am looking all over the place. And then suddenly I remember that, oh, I walked in the house and this is what I did. So I look in my pocket, I just put my hands in my pocket, and lo and behold, the result is there. So this knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi, or knowledge of Kshetrajna, does not, there is no gap between the knowledge and the result. You get the knowledge, you're realized. That's it. There is no gap between these two. As that other knowledge, there is a gap. You get the knowledge and then you get the result after a while. So that is the difference between these two knowledges. Now, Aham Dehosmi, when I say I am the body, there are two kinds of vrittis that I have with respect to my own body also. So when I think, there are two vrittis, and these vritti thoughts, there are two thoughts. One is a parichinna vritti and one is a paripurna vritti. These are two. Parichinna is separate, different, and paripurna is complete. So when I consider me to be this body, aham dehosmi, then immediately all these other bodies are different from me. So immediately there is a difference. So this body will be tall, short, the other body will be something different, thin, fat. All these differences will come into play. This is parichinna. This is also knowledge only. Knowledge of the differences also is knowledge only. It's all knowledge. It's falling all under knowledge. But which knowledge are we going to be going after? That is what, and what exactly is that knowledge? That is what we have to see. What exactly is this Kshetrajna? Because that is the knowledge that we are going after now. Now, after having prepared ourselves with these virtues, we should be able to understand these concepts. So this knowledge I have, which is a parichinna knowledge. Why? Because it is only showing me differences. Nothing else. But when I only look at my own body, then I have a paripurna knowledge, which means what? I have the thought of I from the head to the toe. So even when my finger pokes my eye or my teeth bite my cheek, I don't get angry at anybody. You think somebody else's finger would poke my eye? You think I'm going to spare them? Because I can't see. You put your finger in my eye. But if my own finger goes into my eye, then the same finger will start rubbing the eye, and there is no fight, there is no conflict, there is no getting angry, nothing. So that sort of knowledge which I have in my own body, paripurna knowledge, that is what we need to have with respect to the world and with respect to others. And that is what Kshetrajna is. That is what the knowledge, this Tattva Jnana Darshanam that we are talking about, is this paripurna knowledge. Okay? Another thing. First of all, nobody told us that we are the body. Do we tell our child, you're the body? Nobody teaches us that. Nobody tells us that. But we have become very perfectly established in the fact that I am the body. I don't say I am the body, but my behavior is like that. How is my behavior like that? Anything happens to my body, I'm so very upset. right? My hair starts going gray. I'm very upset. Oh, people, I have glasses. People get upset. Oh my God, people will say, I've got glasses. I better not do any reading in the temple. So all these kinds of things, our behaviors tell us that this is what is my thought, that I am the body. That is what it is. But it shouldn't be. Aham dehosmi. Okay. Even though I don't say it, I actually behave like that. Now, the idea is these 20 virtues should now prepare us, very well prepare us to understand the verses starting from 13 onwards, because now starts the description of Kshetradnya. So far it was Kshetra, then Bhagwan said, I will tell you Kshetradnya, but you will not understand Kshetradnya unless you develop those virtues. And so now with that introduction, we begin with 13. Neyam yattat pravakshami yajnyatva amritam ashnute anadimat param brahma nasattana saduchate. I will declare that which has to be known, knowing which one attains to immortality, the beginningless supreme Brahman, called neither being nor non-being. Neyam, the first word, neyam. This is what was asked in the first verse, right? Jnana and neyam. What is jnana neyam? Purusha prakriti and kshetra kshetradnya. So this neyam is that which is to be known. In chapter 12, what we saw is dheyam. I told you in the introduction that chapter 12, Bhagwan did not talk of nirgun nirakar. Only he mentioned it. That is very difficult. And now in 13, he's going to do this nirgun nirakar. So there it was dheyam, dhyana. And he had given us this fourfold method. And anything to meditate on something external is much easier. So if you remember, there were four verses, which one of them, first one said, with your mind, you should meditate on me. And then we said, but that's too difficult. Then he said, okay, then do abhyas yoga, practice. I said, no, that is also very difficult. Then Bhagwan said, okay, Baba, you offer all your karmas to me. I hope you remember all this from chapter 12. And then we said, are kya, that is also too difficult. Then he said, okay, then at least give me the result. So finally, so the four-step program he had given, that is dayam. Now he's saying nayam, that which is to be known. What is to be known? In this material world, what we see is the triad, the knower, the known, and the knowing. That is what we see. This nayam is knowledge of the knower. See, if in the material world, what is to be known, then it is an object which is different from me. That's why the triad is there. There is the knower, the known, subject, object, and then the experience in between them. So that is the triad. So this nayam is not that known. This nayam is the knower. So in this nayam, there is no triad. That's the first point to be understood. That there is no triad. It is kshetradnya. It is one without a second. It is the nirgun nirakar brahma. There is no form. There is nothing external. So this nayam is that. Yat tat pravakshami. Pravakshami. Vakshami has two verbal roots, two dhatus. One is vaha, which is to carry, and one is vacha, which is to tell. So here, vakshami is to tell. I will tell you, and pravakshami. So two ways we can split this word. Pra, I told you, is prakarshena. So prakarshena vakshami. Prakarshena means very well, samyak. I will tell you so very well, because now you're all prepared, na? 20 virtues you did. So you're all prepared now to listen to this nayam, knowledge. So I will tell you so very well that you have no choice but to realize the truth, but to understand. Or pravakshami means pravachanena vakshami, pravachanena. So I will give you a lecture. I will tell you something which you will understand very, very well. And why should you understand it? Or why should I understand it? Yajnyatva Amrutam Ashnute. Amrutam. So Ashnute is to gain, knowing which you will get immortality. Knowing which you will get immortality. Okay. See, in this line itself, we have studied what is known as Anubandha Chatushtaya, if you remember. Anubandha Chatushtaya, there are four things. One is Adhikari, one is Vishaya, one is Hetu, Prayojana, and then Sambandha. So this is what is Anubandha Chatushtaya. So if you look at this line, the Adhikari is the one with the 20, who has done the 20-point program. Okay. Then the Vishaya is Neyam. What is to be known? What is to be known is Neyam. Knower. The knower is to be known. Understand this. Triad, in the triad, the known, it's not an object. It's the subject that is to be known. So Vishaya is Neyam. And what is the Prayojan? Why should I know this? To gain immortality. Amrutatvam Ashnute. To gain immortality. Okay. So this, and the Sambandha is just the knowledge of that knower will give me the result. That's what I told you. Knowledge in the external world will require some more karma to be done. This knowledge, there will be nothing else to be done. There is actually no karma involved. It is only a thought. In thought, when you do meditation, Aham Brahmasmi, immediate result will be there. And this is what it is. Now, Anadi Mat Param Brahma Na Satta Satta Na Sat Na Asat Uchate. So that is the word there. You have to understand Anadi Mat Param. So Anadi we have understood as beginningless. We have seen this word many times. So beginningless automatically indicates endless, means there is no end, because anything that ends will begin again. So it will have a beginning. So already by saying that there is no beginning for this Neyam, for what? For Kshetradnya or for Neyam or for that which is to be known or that Brahman, it has no beginning, automatically presumes there is no end. Okay? Anadi Matparam. Now, what is this beginningless and endless Neyam? So that which was there before perception began, okay, we're talking of the substratum, that which was there before perception began, that which is there while the perception is going on, and that which will remain after the perception ends. So let us go to our favorite example of rope and snake. So I walk into the room and the rope was already there. It suddenly didn't appear there when I walked in. It was already there. When I walk into the room, which is dimly lit, I see a snake. When I am seeing the snake and feeling afraid, the rope is there. The rope has not gone anywhere, right? The rope is there. And then when I turn the light on, because somebody tells me to, the rope is still there. The snake goes, the rope is still there. That is Anadi Mat. Understand the meaning of Anadi Mat. That which is there before, during, and after the perception. Substratum. We are talking about the substratum. We are talking about Neyam. We are talking about Kshetradnya. Nirakara Nirguna. No form. No nothing. No help. Everything is to be just understood in the mind. Anadi Mat. This is a very important word here. Other thing is, what other thing is there? I have these experiences in the waking. These are the states that I know. I'm very familiar with. It's the waking state, the dream state, and the deep sleep state. So in the waking state, where intellect is functioning, and it's functioning through logic, and it is looking for cause and effect every time in the waking state for experiences. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Etc., etc. Okay? So that is the waking state. In the dream state, it is only the mind which is projecting. So therefore, in dream, there never is any logic. So you can see an elephant flying. You yourself may be flying. You see a circus. You can see anything literally in a dream. There is no logic. There is no cause and effect because the intellect is sleeping. Intellect is folded. So it is mind-born. The dream is mind-born, sustained by the mind, and also dissolves into the mind. So if we were to only take the dream state, the mind is anadimat. Why? Because the mind was there before the dream began. The mind is there while the dream was going on, and the mind remains even after the dream ends. The dream merges into the mind. So just for that dream state, anadimat, now it is not the real anadimat. Huh? I'm just telling you, I'm explaining to you what this anadimat is. And then in deep sleep, there is no experience at all. There's no experience at all. So these three states are going, we are going through these three states every day, every 24 hours. That which is there in all the three states, but it is not the waker, it is not the dreamer, and it is not the deep sleeper, but it is supporting all these three states. That is anadimat. That is anadimat. So that state was there even when the waking state was not there, dream was not there, deep sleep was not, it was there, and it will remain even after. That is anadimat. That is the substratum. Okay, so far so good. Any questions? Yeah, yeah, Mr. Narayanji.
Just even when I dream, you know, as you said, I don't see myself in the dream. I only feel in the dream. You know, I can't see my face. You know, there's only feeling that I'm there in the dream.
No, sometimes you can see yourself also. But it doesn't matter whether you see yourself or you don't. You know that you're dreaming, na? And after you wake up, you remember. Sometimes you may not remember the dream actually, but you do know that you dreamt. You didn't have a good night's sleep. In dream, only mind is functional. The body is asleep. The senses are all folded in. Mind is awake.
Okay.
Sometimes you can see yourself in the dream. You're running, you're frightened or something like that. I have seen myself. I've seen myself crying. I remember very well. I was very young. I saw that my father had passed on, and I was crying in my dream. And then that time we were small. We thought, oh my God, what a horrible dream. What is going to happen? Blah, 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 blah. Then somebody said, no. If you see somebody dying, that means he's not going to die. So it felt like, oh, thank God kind of thing. So you can see there is no logic for dream. There is no logic. It is the same. It's there. Okay. So this is what anadimat is. This is what is to be anadimat param brahma. And this brahma, brahman. Is it clear? So we are talking about the substratum. So if we get it translated into the world, it was there before the world. Therefore, Upanishads say, Sat alone was. Upanishads will say that those things, that I alone was, or Sat alone was, or there was only this pure existence from where this world has come. And this world is being sustained by that substratum. And when the world goes away, also the substratum will remain. The world will go away, but the substratum will remain. That is anadimat. That is what we are getting at. Nirgun nirakar. Now, sat asat uchate. Na sat asat means na sat. Means we cannot call it a sat. We cannot call it at asat. So what sat is that which is existing. Asat is that which is not existing. Why can't I call Brahma both sat and asat? The two ways of looking at this. One is existence, the isness in all the objects. So that is sat. Okay, it is existing. So the existence principle is there. It is supporting the objects and it is also supporting the absence of objects. So when I say I am here and the screen is here and there is nothing between me and the screen, that is one way of understanding this. It is supporting the non-existence as well as the existence. And therefore, that non-existence, asat, also is being supported by sat. That is what is to be understood. So you cannot say that it is asat. You cannot say that it is sat, because when you say it is existing, then you think that it is existing as an object. No, it is not existing as an object. Then is it not existing? No, it is also not existing. So it is not sat, it is not asat. It is the one that is supporting both.
Okay, can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay. When we say the world goes, does world really goes, or is it just personal experience? Because no, world never goes.
In pralaya, the world will go. Final dissolution. Otherwise, every night the world disappears for us. Right? The world disappears for us every night. There is no world for us. The world is going on, but for us, it is not there. But the final, in final dissolution, in final pralaya, the world will disappear. But it's a long, long time away still. That also we have to have faith.
I just thought maybe it is just personal experience. Then we come to realization, or as the world goes, like that illusion or that Maya thing that doesn't
upon realizing,
affect you, so it's gone.
Mm. But yes. Physically it will never go anywhere. Even yes. For a realized master, physically it doesn't go, but what happens to the realized master is he does not give that much importance, that much reality to the world as we do.
Okay.
So this world, which I think is very, very real, a realized master looks at it as if it is a dream. But the world physically never goes away for the realized master either. Physically, no. Physically, the world will disappear in final pralaya. But then nobody, if world will disappear, so all of us also will disappear. We'll unmanifest, right? We'll go into unmanifest. Then we'll manifest again.
Okay.
We'll come to this. This is a little bit deep. Are there any questions? Is everybody following? This is now going high. This verse, then afterwards it will be easy. That's why it's very important that we understand the 20 values and then this. Okay? Everybody's okay? All right, good. So I'll see you next.
Jayaji, when you say the realized master, realized person, it's only while they're alive. How long they're alive, you have that. But when they're gone, there's no world because they've merged.
Yes, correct.
So it's just the period while they're alive.
Correct.
Good.
Correct. Because the body's prarabdha doesn't end upon realization. The prarabdha karma, which has begun this body, the journey of this body has begun with prarabdha. It's extremely powerful. Knowledge can nullify Sanchita and Agami karma. Sanchita and Agami have no power over knowledge, but Prarabdha has power over knowledge also. So Prarabdha continues. So that's why the body continues. But after death, that person is not going to be reborn.
And there's no world for that.
No, there's no rebirth, right? There's no rebirth. So definitely there is no world for them.
Thank you.
They merge. Okay, all right. Om Swasti Prajabhyak Paripala Yantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Go Brahmanebhya Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parjanyaha Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho yam chobarahita brahmana santu nirbhayaha om sarvesham swasti bhavatu sarvesham shantir bhavatu sarvesham purnam bhavatu sarvesham mangalam bhavatu sarve bhavantu sukhinaha sarve santu niramayaha sarve bhadrani pashyantu ma kashchit dukha bhag bhavet om asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityorma amritam gamaya om purnamadah purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avashishyate om shanti 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 hari om shri gurubhyo namaha hari om
hari om
hari om everybody.